And we've seen some things happen last year that were that are accelerated. We've seen a mindset. We've seen a mob mindset come to pass in the last year that has been of the spirit of the age and of the spirit of the devil and of the spirit of Antichrist. It is a spirit that is anti-science, anti-reality, anti-common sense, anti-anything that's worthwhile. And it is a spirit that denies the existence of facts. It denies the existence of facts as it pertains to male and female. It denies the existence of facts as it pertains to common biology and virology and basically every other reasonable ology in the world. It denies the existence of facts. It pretends that if you think you are something, then you are. If you think you're not, then you can change back to something else. And we hear terms introduced in this time frame in which we live, like gender fluidity, the concept that a person just becomes whatever it is they want to at the moment or think they are at the moment. And 20 years ago, we would call that certifiable. We would call that needing mental help. We would call that the need to possibly be committed until we could get you some assistance to get your head screwed on straight. And now we're supposed to accept that kind of foolishness. We are supposed to pretend that men are women when they say they are, even though they're not. We're supposed to pretend that women are men when they say they are, even though they are not. And if they pretend to be something else on tomorrow or say they're something else on tomorrow, we're supposed to accept that as well. We are supposed to accept the fact that some people can call themselves he or she or maybe even they, as if they're more than one person at a time. And we used to get people psychological help for such disorders when they thought they were more than one person at a time. And I don't say these things to be a smart aleck. I say it to acknowledge the reality of the craziness in the world in which we live. And we're seeing a move of woke religion where people in religious circles have embraced this insanity. And they do not want to accept reality. The reality is that God made male and female and that He made us in His image and in His likeness. And our sin problem is not just a matter of us feeling guilty, but it's a matter of us having rebelled against the way that God has created us to be. And we need redemption. We need forgiveness. We need salvation. We need a Savior. We don't just need a check. We don't just need a stimulus bill. We don't just need a government program. We need a Savior. And you are not okay as you are. And this day that we're living in has come to a time where man wants to be. He does not just want tolerance. Sinners do not just want tolerance. They want affirmation. They must be affirmed. They demand not only that you allow them or give them the allowance of doing what they want, but that you must affirm that you agree with it, or else the mob, like the mob that stormed the house of Lot seeking to defile the angels of God, the mob will storm your house, your business, your church. We're seeing it all over the country. And it is a ridiculous time and a sad day. Brother, if you don't think we're living in the last days, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus said, like it were, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark. But in the days of Lot, they were eating and they were drinking, but that doesn't say anything about marrying and giving in marriage. We are more in the days of Lot than the days of Noah. We're in a day where people have forgotten about the marriage vows, just shack up together. Fornication is as common as just waking up in the morning, adultery, and people don't think anything about it. Wives and husbands making agreements to have open relationships and see other people and all this stuff. It's filthy. And that we're living in a generation where young people actually accept this sort of foolishness. And overwhelmingly, we are seeing growth in people who do not know whether they're supposed to be men or women or with men or women and how to have a family. The insanity of the concept of two younger people who are of the same gender saying we're going to get married and have a family. They're not going to have a family. They can't have a family. It's not because I don't like it. It's because it's impossible. It's not because that I don't think it's right. It's because God's Word has cursed it. And we are living in that day. And I preached against it 25 years ago and was laughed at and said, we'll never see that kind of stuff around here. That's all far off, and that's not going to be relevant to us. That's not relevant to our generation, and that's a thing that's somewhere else. Well, brother, time has passed, and it is relevant, and it's not afar off, and it is in our back door, and we should have dealt with it 25 years ago, and somebody should have preached against it 25 years ago, and too many people were too occupied with other things. And we have just allowed everything and anything to happen in our world. And we're living in the days where we're approaching the end of time. And it's like a, and I don't mean to sound crude, and I'm not trying to just give a cultural relevance, but it's true. It's like a roll of toilet paper. And as we're getting towards the end, the spool is spinning faster and faster. Time is going by like a ball of string as you're pulling it loose. And the closer you get to the bottom, the faster the spool is turning. And we're living in a day where things are changing so very fast.
Right.
So very, very fast. 5 years ago seems like, in some ways, an eternity in the term, in ways of culture changes. And it is remarkable. Years ago, I told Gracie, she was born in 1999, last century. She's old. And she was born in the last century, and I've told her on several occasions that I've lived to see a lot of crazy things happen, and most of it's happened since she came into this world, so I blamed it all on her. But it is. The last 21 years, 22 years, it seems like things have just gone crazy. And I thought that was true 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But in the last couple of 3 years, we've made a decade's worth of idiotic changes in our culture in the last 2 to 3 years. And those of you who maybe live a clean, spirit-filled life, and you are beyond 45 or 50 years old, and especially if you're not in the public workplace, you probably don't get to see a lot of this stuff. And praise God, you ought to praise the Lord every day for not having to put up with it. But some of the things that I see regularly, and some of the things you school teachers and people working in the schools have to see in people's lives and families, it'll just about make your hair fall out. And the way that people are living, and the wickedness and the sin that is in people's lives that is just accepted. The godlessness, the things that Sister Tanya talked about in the opening of Sunday school this morning, the godlessness of the generations that we are bringing up. They don't even know the Lord. The Bible said there was a generation that knew not Joseph that grew up in Egypt. They didn't even know Joseph. They didn't, and Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, he had no reason to favor God's people, and that's when he put them in hardship and bondage and slavery. And then, of course, when they got into the land of Canaan, there was a generation that knew not Moses, and they didn't know the miracles of God, and the Lord had to send them miracles for their generation and something to speak to their souls. And Brother TJ, you and your generation, the years younger than you, they need desperately to see God for themselves. They need to see the Lord in their lives and in their experience. And they need to know God. I talk about the things that happened when I was a boy preacher in the 80s and things that I saw as just a child in the 70s and in the 80s and seeing the move of God in our churches. And most of your generation don't even know what I'm talking about. Never seen that. I didn't see the 50s and the 60s and the 40s and 30s that my pawpaw talked about. Rather, I saw some things happen in the 80s and in the 90s and in the early 2000s. I've seen some things in the last few years. And I've even seen some things in the last year. But folks have, for the most part, quit looking for God to do anything. And we are in the last days. And what we ought to do in these days, instead of giving up and having that spirit of faint, that spirit of give up, we ought to rise up, we ought to get busy, and we ought to occupy until Jesus comes.
Amen.
And I have family and I have loved ones that I want to see saved before Jesus comes back. And I have family and I have loved ones that if I leave this old world today and the world stands, I want God to be able to do something in their lives for the future. And to do that, I want to do what I can to contribute to the success and to the foundation of old-time religion while I have the opportunity. And I know I'm preliminary in a lot tonight, and I don't know how much preaching I will do as far as that goes. to what you're accustomed to this evening, but I want to share my heart on some things. And if necessary, I want to call out some things. And so, Caitlin, tonight I may say a few things that are remotely controversial. I normally don't like to do that. She tells me, she said, Dad, you always do that. And so I always make sure I tell her that. But I want to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. Luke chapter 21, let's get us a starting place tonight. I will really remain, and I'll take our text completely from these verses of Scripture, but we will use some companion passages. And so tonight we'll read these verses from Luke chapter 21. If you're able and willing, please stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Luke chapter 21, and beginning in verse number 25. The Word of the Lord says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You can be seated tonight. Thank you so much for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. The setting of the entirety of our message, the structure of it, is found in these four verses that we've read here this evening. The Lord is speaking unto His disciples, all of them being Jewish, about the experience of the Jews during the tribulation period. I'll say at the onset that I believe in a premillennial, pre-tribulational rapture of the church. If you do not, I won't argue with you and I won't fuss with you, but just let me think what I believe to be true. And if you think something different, we'll wait and see how it all shakes out and make sure your heart's right with God. And you don't have to believe in the rapture to go in the rapture if your heart's right with God. Amen. Yeah. And as such, believing in that, I do not believe the church will be here during the days mentioned in these verses, because it is during the tribulation period. But when we are raptured out, the tribulation will begin and the stage will have already been set for it. So while we may not see the days that we read of tonight directly, we will see and are seeing today already tribulation-like times. We are seeing times like those that will come with severity and greater severity during the days of the tribulation. Look at verse number 29. The Bible says, and He spake unto them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see, and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. He's not talking about while the tree is in full bloom, but He said before it begins to bloom out fully. You'll see and recognize what is about to take place. And though we do not have prophecy that must be fulfilled before Jesus can come back again, we do see the tree beginning to bud. We do see the signs beginning to transpire. We do see the things coming to pass that set the stage for the Antichrist. I believe He's alive on planet Earth today. And we do see a time that is coming to pass when the church is getting out of here and tribulation will begin, Jacob's trouble, the likes of which we have never seen on planet Earth, and we're leaving this old world soon. Verse 31, so likewise ye, when you see the things that come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed unto yourselves, that lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. And for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, he noticed the verse in verse 35, as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. You don't want to be one that dwells when the tree gets in full bloom, when the tribulation period is in full blossom, when all the things that he prophesied have come to pass. You don't want to be on the earth. For all those on the face of the whole earth are going to be in a snare and going to suffer. Watch ye therefore, verse 35, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know what's going to happen for those who are right with the Lord when these things come to pass and the tree is in full bloom and the tribulation is in full blossom on this earth? We that know the Lord, we who have been born again, will not be on the earth where there is suffering, but will stand before the Son of Man. He hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain mercy. And so watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And he tells them to be aware of these signs. Understand when the day is at hand and be worthy to escape all these things. The only way to escape the tribulation is to know Christ in the free pardon of sin.
Amen.
Now tonight I really just want to give you three little points in this message this evening. And a few things about these things, and we will share with you what the Lord has laid on our heart. First of all, tonight I want to talk about the introduction of worldwide disorder. The introduction of worldwide disorder. Secondly, I want to talk about the influx of worry. The influx of worry. And we'll finish this evening talking about the increase of wickedness. The increase of wickedness. So let's begin with the signs of the time. The introduction of worldwide disorder. Verse number 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, the distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Make no mistake about it. Satan loves disorder. He loves confusion of face that comes over man. He loves for things to be upside down and inside out. This disorder, he says, will be across the world. And it will begin before of the end, according to verse number 9. The Bible said in verse 9, but when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then in the end, according to verses 10 and 11, there will be even more disorder. As he said, then he said unto them, nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. And so we learn in verse number 9 that there will be some of these things beginning to show themselves before the end. And then they will come into full bloom in verses 10 and 11. And then Jesus pauses for just a moment in verses 12 through 24 to tell the Jews some things and to advise them concerning their immediate issues and in the age of the Gentiles. He tells of the fall of Jerusalem. He tells of the experience that the Jews will have in their nation being utterly scattered across the world, how that they will not be restored again until the end of the Gentiles be fulfilled, according to verse 24. Of course, we know that the Lord brought the nation of Israel back together, established them again as a sovereign people in 1948. And we are today living on the doorway, on the threshold of Jesus coming back. The days of the Gentile kingdoms are just about gone. That statue that was in the book of Daniel, that head of gold and arms of silver and belly of brass and legs of iron and feet of iron clay, that is those Gentile kingdoms. And they are just about past. That last Gentile kingdom is the kingdom of Rome or Romanism. It is, if you will, Westernism. It is the influence, literally the influence of Christianity. And the influence of Christianity having been corrupted by a carnal and Gentile governments. It is the mixture or the blend of church and state. And it will become unsustainable. It will become unremainable. It will become to a place where it cannot survive. And it will fall apart. We are seeing the demise of Western civilization before our eyes. That last kingdom that will be destroyed will be the West. It will be the Roman world. Those in the Middle East recognize everything in Western Europe and in the entire Western hemisphere as part of Romanism or Westernism. We think about ourselves as Americans, but they think about us as Westerners. And this Western civilization, this civilization that was built on, for the most part, built on a Jewish and Christian work ethic and Protestant work ethic and my friend, Judeo-Christian values, for the most part, is crumbling beneath us. It is becoming a post-Christian world. I'm not telling you that nobody's saved. I'm not telling you that nobody's serving the Lord anymore. God will find faith on earth even when Jesus comes back. There's still going to be somebody in the rapture when the rapture happens. There's going to be some who are alive and remain, who know the Lord, who will be caught up together with the Lord in the air. But the dominant forces in our world today are anti-Christian, and they are anti-Western, and they are anti-God. And my friend, they are pro-communism. And my friend, they are pro-secular humanism. And they are pro-scientism. And I'll say more about that here in just a moment. But those things oppose God, and they oppose what is right, and they oppose Western civilization, and they oppose this Judeo-Christian worldview. And the Bible tells us that this thing will come to pass, that nation will rise against nation, that there will be a worldwide disorder, that there will be a worldwide breakdown. And we're living in that time. It is the end of the Gentile people. And eventually, and I'll come to these more in detail in a moment, but eventually that Gentile world will so fragment that the only thing during the tribulation time that will unite them is their hatred for Israel. And my friend, they will unite against Israel and fight against them. And Israel will finally, at the end of that tribulation, turn their face unto their Messiah, unto their Christ, and recognize the Lord Jesus. And as they do, and the world turns against them, they will converge in the valley of Megiddo. And there, my friend, there will be that war to end all Gentile or man-made wars. And the blood will run bridle deep on the horse's mouth. For a place there is over 200 miles in that valley. And it will run bridle deep on the horse's mouth in that valley. And God will slay them with the sword of His mouth as they have come against His people. And He will save out of that people a remnant and deliver them. Oh, how you better see, my friend, thou these things. The stage is being set for these things to come to pass. You want to be ready for when the church leaves this old world. You want to be prepared to leave out of this world in the first load, my friend, before these things come to pass. In verse number 25, he advises that he comes back to the last days, and he advises that there will be signs in the sun. He tells him all about what's going to happen in these last days. Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13 are companion passages to Luke chapter 21. And they tell and teach of the same truths. Now concerning this introduction to worldwide disorder, there are really three things that I want you to consider. First of all, think about the discovery of the heavenly things. Verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Have the signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Mark chapter 13 says it this way, verse number 24. But in those days after that tribulation... Now, I don't know why people have a hard time believing that this is after the tribulation period. When Jesus says it in both of the Gospels and both these other Gospels that are companion chapters, Mark 24:29, or Matthew 24:29, Mark 13:24. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. It appears that there are warnings shown in the heaven. It is reminiscent of the days when Christ first came, and my friend, to the wise men, they saw His star in the east, and they were warned that the Messiah was coming, and they came to worship Him. It seems like God is declaring Himself in the skies. It seems like God is showing Himself to man in the skies. It seems like the gospel is being spelled out in the skies. That probably don't mean anything to all y'all, but to the Gammon family, it ought to mean something. Most of us haven't paid attention to a sunset or a sunrise because it happens every day and we don't think about it. But they just got back from out west and sat one night and watched as the sun set over the desert and watched how quickly that it went up and went down and saw the glow and the hue of that sun in the desert. The Lord reveals Himself.
himself in the heavens. He reveals himself in the sky. Some of you, it's been a long time since you've done it. But on a clear night, you look up into the sky and you see the stars up in the heavens. And you see, my friend, all of the different planets and the lights of the skies. And you realize there's a God somewhere. There's a God that hung the stars in the tabernacles of the heavens. That did not happen by accident, but by providence. The Lord put them there. And the stars he made also. Had it been in addition to all of that, the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, he talks about how he reveals himself in the heavens. These stars, the constellations, how that they can see. Many of them tell stories. Have stories about a mother with a little baby. Have stories about a mother with a little baby and an arrow that would pierce through her heart. It is the story of Mary and Jesus. And how the prophecy said that an arrow, how a sword would pierce through her own heart also. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. I'm glad Jesus came as a little babe in a manger. I made a way that we could be saved by the grace of God. Even the heavens declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 8 verse 3 said, when I consider thy heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Psalms 19 and 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 36 and 5 says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Psalm 50 and 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Psalms 97 and 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. And Jesus said in the last days, that there will come a time that men will turn their eyes to the skies, and they'll see signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, the discovery of heavenly things. And then notice, secondly, concerning this introduction of worldwide disorder, there is distress in earthly matters. He said they've seen the stars and the moon and the signs, then upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. They see what's happening under the sun. They see what's happening in the world we're living in. And they see the trouble. They see the distress. They are perplexed. They are confused. They don't know what to do about it. I don't know if you realize this, my friend, but if you want to see the look of confusion, turn on the news in the evening and watch the news coverage. If the anchor does not look confused, they'll show a little bit of what the president has to say, and he will surely look confused. And they don't know what to do. And my friend, the wizards are smart on Wall Street, don't know what to do. And the doctors and the physicians don't know what to do. And the world rulers and the leaders don't know what to do. And my friend, the folks that are running the national federal banks, they don't know what to do. And folks in charge of corporate world, they don't know what to do. And they are perplexed by the disorder. They are perplexed, and my friend, by the distress of nations, and by the affliction and the wickedness and the disorder. And my friend, the sin that pervades our planet, and the disasters that are in the making. Well, we're living in a generation when more than half of our babies are born here, and it's well more than half of our babies are born here in the United States of America without a father in the home. I don't just mean without mom and daddy married. I mean they ain't even got a daddy nowhere around. They don't have a father living in their home, more than half. Brother, there is bound to be confusion. There is bound to be distress. We are living in a day of distress of nations with perplexity. We are on the precipice. We are on the cusp. Have a day of perplexity this world has never known. Mark chapter 13 verse 19, the companion passage, Jesus said it this way, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not known from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Matthew chapter 24, companion chapter, verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. I see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, But the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. We have seen in my lifetime an absolute upheaval in world order. I mean, the Berlin Wall is torn down. The European Union has both formed and failed. And the Arab Spring has sprung, and the terrorism has been an expectation, has come to be accepted as just a reality we're going to have to live through all across the world. And we are seeing now the rise of Chinese communism and the recovery of the Russian bear as that old Soviet Union begins to put the pieces of their empire back together. And Fidel Castro may be dead, but not in Cuban communism remains the order of the day. And the USA is being overrun by Marxism, communism, socialism, fascism, and collectivism of all sorts. Westernism is under attack, and the U.S. is being forsaken. Our founding is being forsaken, and the spirit of the age has not been attacked the free world because it despises its founding principles, which are the principles of faith in God, and the Judeo-Christian ethic, the Judeo-Christian worldview. Ultimately, it is Christ that is the enemy of the spirit of the age. What is working in us, this move of Marxism and socialism and communism and scientism and environmentalism, every bit of it has one thing in common: secular humanism. It is void of God. It is void of Christ. It is an antichrist movement. The spirit of the age is antichrist. I mean, friend, what do the people who believe in critical race theory have in common with those who are environmentalist whack jobs? The one thing they have in common is they don't trust God, don't believe in God, don't love God. The communists and the socialists and the fascists and collectivists of all sorts have one thing in common: we don't want God, we don't want Christ, we don't want the church, we don't want religion. We'll accept nothing bigger than ourselves. The reason man thinks he can control the virus, control the economy, control you, control me, is because he sees nothing bigger than man. The reason why he thinks he can control the weather is because he thinks far too highly of himself. Oh, may the Lord help us to repent of our pride, to repent of our inflated sense of self-importance, and return again to the Lord that he may heal us. But I'm telling you, the spirit of the age will rage on in the world that is a heathen world, and they will deny Christ until he comes in the cloud. It's ultimately Christ that is the enemy. When you hear him talk about the oppression of Western civilization, how that it ought to be torn down, how that America, you know, and listen, I'm not under any illusion that this country has been perfect by any means, and I do not believe in this concept of Christian nationalism or this concept of worshiping a form of government of any kind. But I'm telling you, the reason why this crowd does not want to salute the flag is because they despise the founding. And what they despise about the founding is the Judeo-Christian values we were founded on. The concept that man could be free and guided by his conscience requires a just, religious, and moral people. And they don't want a just, religious, and moral people. Those things declare right and wrong. Those things declare good and evil. Those things declare both a God and a devil. And this is the world, my friend, where they want no judgment. They want no wisdom. They want no discernment. They want no rules. They are anarchists. That's the reason why they won't salute the flag. That's the reason why they kneel when they play the national anthem. It's not the flag. It's what it stands for. It's not the flag. It's the founding. Oh, my friend, it is the founding faith of our fathers that they despise. And it's the God of this Bible that they despise. Amen. That's exactly right. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. The Bible says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. You realize, I believe the ultimate Antichrist is alive today, because I believe Jesus comes in time. And when he comes, that Antichrist, that man of sin and that man of perdition, is going to be revealed, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2. And if He's going to be revealed in that last time, I believe He is alive and poised to take place and take power at any time. I don't know who it is. I won't pretend to claim that I know who it is. I won't even pretend to... If we won't have private conversations, I might make suggestions, ask questions. I've got ideas, but I'll not pretend to know something that I don't. But I do believe that He is poised and ready to take the world's case. Brother, I'm telling the world, I'm talking about real people that love Jesus. There's not a lot of them in the world. Real people who are committed to Christ. There's not a lot of them in the world. But if you take us out of this whole world, if you take the few, the faithful few, out of this whole world, oh, somebody wondered how in the world the Antichrist could take over. Brother, you take us out of this whole world, there'll be no speed bumps left. He'll plow right over everything else. The rest of this world is satisfied with the spirit of the age, that is Antichrist. And we are living in a day where there are already many Antichrists. Now I'm going to say something that I don't know. The whole time I've been preaching tonight, I've been wondering what I ought to tell Brother Thomas. And whether or not that ought to keep going live or not. But I think I ought to just let the world hear what I'm preaching right now. And so y'all pray for me, because that probably means I'll get to bear a few arrows for it somewhere along the way. But I'm telling you, I believe that people who are little tin-horn governors and mayors who want to keep churches from having church have the spirit of Antichrist in them. I believe that this crowd who all they can do is blame the preacher and blame God and blame, my friend, those who serve the Lord and blame those who believe the Bible for all the world's problems have Antichrist spirits about them. I didn't say that Governor Gavin Newsom and Cuomo in New York are the Antichrist. I didn't say that. But I did say people like them have a spirit of Antichrist in them, and they behave like the Antichrist in that they oppose God and church and the Bible. Amen. And it does not hurt my feelings one little bit to see them getting in trouble for being seen as some of the little devils that they are. And my friend, amen, in these last few weeks, and all I can do is sit on the sidelines and clap my hands and say, somebody ought to listen a year ago about these dishonest people and their dishonest ways. And my friend, they don't care about old people, young people, male people, female people. And little people or big people, they care about themselves. They are self-absorbed. And they are people eaten up with power. And they think more highly of themselves than what they ought to think. And their spirit and their mindset and their attitude is Antichrist. Distress in earthly matters. I told Caitlin I might say a few things remotely controversial tonight. And so I'm trying to make sure that I don't disappoint you, girl. And so this is the discovery of heavenly things and the distress in earthly matters. And then there will be disasters in the seas at the end of verse 25. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Look at verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Matthew Henry said of this verse that it teaches of terrible storms and tempests, such as have not been known, and above the ordinary working of natural causes. The effect of this shall be universal confusion and consternation upon the earth, distresses of nations with perplexity. We already see that perplexity and confusion. Men think they have control over the weather and can't decide what to do about it. Have the experts declared that we would go into a new ice age in the 70s, 1970 actually, and they established Earth Day as a day to celebrate and worship Mother Earth with the goal of trying to control the weather to keep us out of the next ice age. By the time we got into the 80s, everybody forgot about that. And the same glorious experts panicked over the hole in the ozone layer, and their solution was for you to quit using hairspray and to quit having aerosol cans. And in my opinion, that old hole in the ozone layer was going to kill us all. And some of you young people are too young to remember this, but some of us old folks are old enough to remember it. In the 90s, it was the threat of global warming and the predictions that the world would end in Y2K. And folks like Brother John made a killing on the rest of us trying to reprogram our computers to prepare for four digits instead of two. I mean, it's just two more digits. But that was supposed to be a big deal at the time. In the past 20 years, the messages have been mixed with concerns over climate change where warming causes cooling, predictions of disaster and gloom and failures, how for them to come to pass, how people were supposed to be extinct, according to one expert that worked for the United Nations, by 2026, human beings would be extinct from this planet. He made that prediction in the year 2000. Did you realize, according to Al Gore, we're already supposed to have no snow on top of the mountains in India in the year 2021, and yet they still got it, according to the environmentalist. A manifesto, I think it was 1999, by the year 2021, Texas would never see another snow again. Anybody pay attention to the news in Texas in the last few months? And in 2021, we're supposed to believe the reason why there is so much snow in Texas, and the reason why there was such an ice storm in Texas, is because it got too hot. And we're supposed to believe these experts telling us that the heating caused the cooling, and that they are the only ones who know what to do about it by telling you how to operate your life and charging the fee to do it. And we're so foolish we keep listening. Hear me, friend. This whole world is coming to a cataclysmic end, but it will not be at the hands of man. It will not be at the hands of government. It will not be at the hands of some tin-horn dictator in some Soviet country. I'm telling you, God Himself will sustain this world until He wipes it out. And when it ends, it'll not be by natural disaster. God promised Him not destroy the earth by water again. Oh, but the next time it'll be fire, and it'll be brimstone, and there'll be no way to resolve it, or to stop it, or to control it, and my friend, or to regulate it in that time.
Amen.
Amen. And man will not even know how to explain it. Disasters in the sea. So we've looked at the introduction of worldwide disorder. Number two tonight, let's look at the influx of worry. Verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Men's hearts failing them for fear. I could re-preach this morning's message, at least a point or sub-point. Men's hearts failing them for fear. This is not heart disease, but it's the old spirit of give up. It's the faintness of heart. Many are also having heart attacks, strokes, high blood pressure, and anxiety attacks. It is the impact of perilous times, and it creates consternation and frustration in the souls of men. Got your Bibles open, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is what he's talking about whenever he talks about men's hearts failing them for fear. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Looking after those things which are coming on the earth, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This know also, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. You know why men's hearts are failing for fear? You know why that they're so concerned and upset and troubled? Because we're living in perilous times. We're living in troubled and dangerous days. And he said this is the mark of those perilous times. The influx of worry has been brought on us because of these kind of things. What kind of things? Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unfaithful and unholy. Verses 2 through 4 of this chapter deals with the lovers of pleasure. They shall be lovers of their own selves. Matter of fact, you could really say, verse 2, 3, and 4, one word encapsulates everything in verses 2, 3, and 4, and that one word is self. It is self, self. This is the most self-driven generation that any of us have ever seen. People that are in for self. What's mine is mine and I will keep it. What's thine is mine and I will take it. That is the mindset of this generation. And my friend, they are lovers of their own selves. How does that show up? With an idea or an attitude of covetousness. He says covetous. That is, want what somebody else has. That is, looking at someone else and to thinking, I ought to have his car. He ought to be riding a bicycle. I ought to have his house, his wife, his livestock, his life, his job. Take what from him and give it to me. Are we not living in that generation where they think that they, someone else, has the right. They are entitled to what you have.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Are we not living in that generation? We're living in a generation where we have institutionalized that. We think because someone is male or female, or because they pretend to be male or female, that they are entitled to what someone else has. That because they were born with a certain color of skin, or because they were born in a certain country, or because they were born in a certain place, or because they lived a certain lifestyle, that they are somehow entitled to what someone else has. It is that spirit of covetousness, and it is Antichrist, and it is of the devil. That spirit of covetousness, it is a loving of self. They said they're covetous, they're boasters. Oh, listen, we're living in a generation that needs Joel Osteen to tell them, I am good, I am powerful, I am important, I am somebody, I matter. This is the I generation. This is the me generation. This is the generation, my friend, that in order to think they have done something, needs to buy clothes with holes in them to prove their authenticity. When we were kids, we put our own holes in them, and they were authentic. We earned them. Amen. We didn't pay for the holes. We earned them ourselves, crawling around, having my friend on our knees and working, and we earned the own, our own holes in our clothes, and we packed them up long as what we could. We didn't buy ball hats that they had already torn the edges and the corners and unraveled the little corners on them to try to look cool and authentic. Because when we bought hats, if we got a hat that didn't have torn places on it, how we were thankful to have it, one that looked newer, and the torn places were there because we wore it out. But now we're in a generation that's never worn anything out. They've never done anything. They're too lazy to do anything. And they want to look authentic. And they buy worn out junk to try to prove that they are somebody. They are boasters, full of themselves.
Amen.
Proud, proud, he says. Boasters, proud, blasphemers.
Yes, sir.
Saw a sign years ago in a pride parade. And by the way, there's a reason why that they call it a pride parade. They're in sin, they're wicked, and they're proud of it. And if you are proud of your wickedness, you have a spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
I know everything that I'm saying is not only politically, but socially inappropriate and incorrect in our day and time, but it's biblically accurate. And I saw a sign in the pride parade years ago, this character of sorts, walking down the streets and declaring his sin. And he had on his sign, he said, God knows what we are doing and he does not care. He had the first part right. God does know what they're doing. He is aware and he does care. And sadly, he will judge sin. And folks better get right with God.
Amen.
They better get right with God.
Amen.
Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Don't think that's a small one, friend, because that's the thing that opens the gateway to everything else. Rebellion against the parents, and then rebellion against the police, and rebellion against the teacher, rebellion against the authorities of life, and rebellion against the Holy Ghost. You let your child be a rebel, you are allowing it to be instilled in them to rebel against even the Father in heaven. Fathers and mothers, one of the reasons why you are to parent your children is to teach them to be submissive unto parental authority. So when the Father in heaven deals with their sin, they will say, yes, sir, Lord, I want my children not to buck up and to rebel against the Holy Spirit. But when God deals with their heart, I want them to have a submissive heart towards the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Without natural affection. Notice they've gone from being full of themselves in verse 2 to just be disorderly in verse 3. Their sin's not even in the normal nature of things. It doesn't even make sense to rational people. They are without natural affection. They don't think right. They don't know how to love. They don't know how to express love for one another. They don't know how to love as a family ought to. They don't know how to love as humanity ought to. It is so warped in the day that we're living in that people would rather have a relationship relationship with a pet than what they had with a human, because they don't even know how to deal with other humans. We're living in a time where boys and girls are getting so much screen time that they hardly know how to interact except through a cell phone. And they're more interested in FaceTimes and FaceChats and, to my friend, Snapchats and all the rest of this foolishness than what they are real human beings in interaction with them. And all we've done with Corona is just accelerate that foolishness. It was already out of hand. Natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. You have never seen a day and time in your life nor mine where there's been more lies told on people than what there is today. People weaponize lies now to figure out who they don't like, and it's my friend, they'll just tell anything on them in order to cancel them out. It's called cancel culture. It's a matter of trying to eliminate anything they don't want to hear. And I assure you tonight, preaching like I'm preaching tonight is a target for cancel culture.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Google and Facebook and Instagram and all the rest of that mess does not like them. The people who run it, they do not like what I'm preaching tonight. False accusers. Notice the next phrase, incontinent. Does not mean that they can't make it to the restroom. It means they can't control themselves. They're out of control. One of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. But the spirit of the age is an incontinent spirit. If you have not, it's a fierce, the next word, fierce spirit, despisers of those that are good. If you have not seen that, as our cities are on fire in the last year, then you've not opened your eyes. People are out of control. They're out of control. They're mad, and most of them don't even know why. Just mad. Verse 4, traitors turn against everybody and anybody that loves them. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The influx of worry, the heart failure, is because of perilous time. Lovers of pleasure is the reason why we have an influx of worry. And then verse 5, because the Lord is a stranger, we have an influx of worry. Look at verse number 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There is a religion that remains, but the true knowledge of God is hard to find. Repetition, ritual, relics, and relevance are present, but the realness of the presence of God seems like something of a bygone error.
Amen.
God help us. I'm glad I still know what it is to get under the spout where the glory runs out. I'm glad I still know what it is to worship where the power of God is real. I still believe in a God whose Spirit fellowships with you and abides with you and lives inside of you. But we're living in a day of religion that has little more than just ritual. It has little more, my friend, than just repetition. And they're missing the realness of God in their lives. Lord's a stranger. Reason why men worry. Then verse number 6, because of the lie of false doctrine. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. It is the feel-good, fleshy, false, fiendish doctrine, devilish doctrine. It is the light-hearted doctrine that is easily accepted by silly women and people who are not serious about God. It's the lustful doctrine, laden with sin. It is a leading astray doctrine. It is woke religion, the teaching that man is okay as he is, and that his real problem is just that you feel bad. You don't just feel guilty, you are. And you don't need relief from your feelings, you need relief from your guilt. Which is why Jesus came to save us and to redeem us.
Amen.
He died on the cross for my sins and for yours. And he died not at the hands of the Romans or the Jews, but at the hands of his Father. Into thy hands, Father, into thy hands do I commend my spirit. The woke religionists of this day calls that cosmic child abuse. They say what I'm preaching is that old bloody religion. But I'm telling you, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The lies of false doctrine. And then verse number 7, the lack of knowledge. Reason why we're in perilous times, reason why men's hearts failing them for fear, is the lack of knowledge. Never had a day where people were more capable of learning if they wanted to than what we do now. And we've never had a time in my lifetime when people are less interested in learning. They just don't care. Don't care. They don't need to be informed. Long as what they can just do what they want to do. Long as what life is easy, long as what pot can be found, long as what they can find a bottle of beer or a joint to smoke, they're just satisfied with nothing.
Yes.
Have no curiosities, except for the perverted ones.
Yeah.
Seem to be just operating constantly in the flesh. And if they, like I say, if they get some drugs, everything's all right, cool. But it ain't cool.
Amen.
Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. For this cause, men's hearts fail them for fear, for they don't know the truth.
Amen.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and whom the Son makes free is free indeed. The influx of worry, and I'm finishing with this. Introduction of worldwide disorder. Influx of worry. Finally, the increase of wickedness. The increase of wickedness. Verse 26 of our text tonight. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. They look after those things that are coming on the earth. What's happening in this world occupies them wholly. A hog never sees the tree that an acorn fell from until he lies flat on his back. Man will be utterly consumed with life under the sun, completely ignoring God. And we are almost already there until the cup of the wrath of God will be completely filled. I've already passed how long I felt like I'd preach on this. Chapters 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 of Revelation. Going to deal with this cup of the wrath of God getting full. The Bible said in chapter 15 of Revelation, it deals with in verse number 1, for in them is filled up, that is in the bowls or the vials of God's wrath, in them is filled up the wrath of God. Not just that in them is the wrath of God, but that it is full. It gives us the idea the bowl is what that vial is. It's a bowl or a cup. It gives us the idea of a cup that is boiling and boiling, and a bowl that is boiling and getting fuller and fuller. And God has been patient and He's been long-suffering. And now the sin of this world, the sin of mankind, the wrath of God has been filled to the brim and overflowing, and God will tolerate sin no more. Now's the time that He will pour out the cup of wrath. It is the last of the seventh plagues. It is the vial, the bowl, or the cup. It's the fulfillment of Psalm 75 and verse 7 and 8. But God is the judge. He putteth down the one, setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, and it's full of mixture. And He poureth out the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. The only reason why we'll avoid this is that the cup of God's wrath on our sin was already poured out on Jesus. If you'll receive it, friend, that which should have been poured out on us was poured out on His Son. That wrath, that anger of God at sin, that's going to be poured out on the unbeliever, has already for the believer been poured out on Jesus. He was willing to drink the bitter cup. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if it's not possible, except I drink it, thy will be done. He drank our cup for us. Not only that, just before he accepted our cup, he sat at the table of the Last Supper. And he passed around the bread, his broken body. And he passed around the cup, his shed blood. And he said, he didn't drink of it, by the way. He said, I'll not drink until I drink again in my kingdom afresh and anew with you. But he said, drink, for this is my blood, which I give for you. You know what he did, don't you? He gave us his cup. He took ours. He took the wrath of God for us. We took the favor of God by faith. He gave us his cup. If you'll receive Christ, you'll get the blessings that only Christ deserves. He will have taken your wrath, your judgment. He'll take your punishment for you. And you can avoid that horrible time that's coming upon all of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A full cup of wrath. Chapter 16 of Revelation is a foundation that will crumble. It's the last of the seven plagues and the last vial of wrath in that plague. It's the end of evil on this earth. And the Bible said in verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. It is the end of evil on the earth, and it's the war to end all of man's wars. We find if you go all the way to chapter 20, the final judgment. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. Verse 15, and all who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's the final judgment. Make no mistake about it, friend. Your only hope is Jesus. Your only answer is in his mercy and his grace. There's a time coming in this old world where men will run for the rocks and the hills to fall on them. They'll find no hiding place. But in our text in verse 27, it says, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things come to pass, don't go home, lay down in the bed, cover your head up with a blanket and worry about what the Democrats are going to do next. Oh no, when these things come to pass, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. This world is on a collision course with disaster. Oh, but the child of God is on the brink of deliverance. And we're going home, getting out of this whole world, checking in to a better place on the other side. And there is a sun that always shines. And my friend, the Lamb himself is the light of that city. Don't lose help or lose hope or lose heart. All war and strife will cease. There'll be eternal peace when Jesus comes in the cloud. There's coming a brand new day when God says it's over. And all of the earth will know, my friend, there's no doubt. The troubles of this old life will have no more power. All will be changed when Jesus steps out. Hallelujah. Makes me happy in the Lord tonight. I know there's doom and disaster coming for this old world. Brother TJ, I'm not going to hell. He has not appointed me unto wrath. Hallelujah. And for the child of God, it's looking better on the other side. And I wouldn't miss heaven for the whole world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know tonight I have not even begun to scratch the surface of what I've tried to preach on. This is kindergarten stuff in terms of prophecy. It's about as deep as what I know how to preach in terms of prophecy. I'm not as learned in it. I'm not gifted in that area. But I'll tell you what I can recognize. I can recognize when God's doing something and when the devil's doing something.
That's right.
Amen. I'm gifted in an area of discernment. You think whatever you want to think about that. I don't say it to be a smarty. I'm just telling you. That's the right. Lord has given me the spirit of discernment. That is, and by the way, he will for anybody that'll ask him. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Is that not what your King James Bible says? You can have the spirit of discernment. And in this old world, what's going on and what the spirit of the age is not the spirit of God.
That's right.
But it is what God told us is going to happen. And it encourages me that it won't be long until everything's going to be different.
If I wasn't saved tonight, why I'd get in? I mean, I wasn't with every devil in hell. I mean, pains of hell got hold of my soul. Unto the Lord I cried. Hallelujah. Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Oh, I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. You better get in. You better get in. Come on with the song. I've told it a million times. I'll tell it again as I'm closing tonight. But as a boy, I'd look in the sky, I'd hear preachers preach like I preached tonight. Y'all think I preach long. Lots of them preachers that preach 2 hours on a regular basis. And I'd hear those preachers preach like I preached tonight. And I'd go home and they talk about the signs in the heavens and the signs of the moon and the stars. Time had changed, and it'd get to be this time of year when they'd get the high skies and the clouds would be in the skies, you know, and the light would shine up out of that old airport over there in Mount Zion and hit on the bottom side of the cloud. Now, I thought it was a cloud splitting open, and the light shining out of the cloud, Jesus was coming back, and I wasn't ready to meet the Lord. Oh, my. And it scared me to death. And I thought, all my family's right with God, and I'm not, and I'm going to be left here in that tribulation. I'm going to be left behind. I'd get so worried. Why in the world I wouldn't get right, but I'd get so worried. Bedtime would come. I'd stand there in my room in the front of the house, and I'd look out the window. Those window frames with those crossed panes. Tanya and TJ and Sonia can see them in their mind's eye tonight, but those crossed panes and that window looking out towards the front yard, the patch of woods, and up into that cloud over towards Mount Zion. And I'd stand there and watch that cloud and just wonder how long it'd be before I fell right off into hell. Worried. And Daddy said, it's not the Lord coming back, son. It's the airport over there. And it's a lie shining up to guide those planes in. And I knew my daddy wouldn't lie to me on purpose. I knew that. But what if he was wrong? And I thought, all night, things would get quiet in the house. And I'd think, well, it's done happened. They're all gone and I'm behind and I'm all by myself. I'd slip down the hall, ease and down through there to see if I could hear my daddy snoring because he sleeps out loud. See if I could hear my daddy snoring in the bed. And I knew if I could hear him snoring that Jesus hadn't come because I knew my daddy was saved. And I was all right at least for now. And I'd slip down the hallway and listen. When I'd hear him snoring, give me at least a minute or two of peace. But that went on night after night and day after day. Hallelujah. 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 But now, when the sun starts to set and the skies get kind of high and the clouds come over, and many a night I come riding across Lovers Farm Road. About the time you get up to Hamp Jones's farm, you can see out through there long ways. And I can see the light shining up on the bottom side of the clouds. It does not strike fear in my heart. I'm not worried that Jesus might come and I'm not ready. But instead I say, thank God the old account was settled. And even so come, Lord Jesus. Hey, God, there's coming a brand new day when God says, it's over. Someday it's not going to be the light shining out of the airport. Some of these days the Son of God is going to rip open the clouds and take us up out of this old world. And we're going to stand before a Son Man. And while this earth is a rocking and a reeling, we're going to be where Jesus is. Hallelujah. Praise God. You better make your calling and election sure.
Yes, sir.
Know that you know Jesus.
Yes.
Everybody standing up, preach what the Lord's put on my heart tonight. Thank you for your attention and attentiveness tonight, your attendance. I've tried to preach to you and not bore you tonight. Oh, I think this is the message that needs to be heard in our time. I know it seems like everything I preach lately is just warning and warning and warning, but I see the signs of a head-on collision. This world is headed to cataclysmic times, and people are not right with God. I fear we've taken this thing far too lightly.
Amen.
It's time God's people get serious about serving God, and sinners get serious about getting saved.
Amen.
You need to pray tonight. If you're lost, I beg you to come. You've got lost loved ones. You're praying for them to get in. These altars are open if you need to pray. Just sing when you get ready.
There's a great day coming.
Boy, are you ready to meet the Lord?
A great day
Jesus
coming,
is coming whether you're ready or not.
A great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted, right and left. Are you ready for that day to come?
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Jesus said, because it was in an hour that you think not, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and pray for an hour that you think not the Son of Man cometh. If you get lulled into a sense of satisfaction with the world that you're living in, we're going to miss what God wants to do in us in these last days. We better be sober and vigilant. We better be alert. We better be busy for Jesus until Jesus comes. If you're going to do something for God, you better do it now. The time is drawing nigh. Opportunities to be gone. Sing one more verse tonight. If you need to pray, obey the Lord.
Sad tonight. Day
come. Obey the Lord.
A sad day coming. There's a sad day coming.
While we are amused with the things of this world,
with the
there's a generation going to hell at work next to me. May we become alert. May we become revived. May we become engaged. There was somebody to go.